Our next speaker tonight, Matt Westcott, has been writing music and demos on the ZX Spectrum for over 20 years. He's had some amazing career with that. He's won competitions at Assembly, the biggest demo party there is. And tonight he's going to take all of that experience and try and condense it to you in an hour. He's going to teach you how to write a chiptune from scratch. And best of all, you're going to get to choose the chiptune. So have a think what you'd like to see turned into all its 8-bit glory. And please give a warm welcome to Matt Westcott, also known as Gas Man.
Hey, thanks very much. So given that you've come to this talk, then hopefully you have sort of, at least a rough idea of what chiptunes are, at least at the level of it's that sort of blippy bloppy video game music. It's like many retro things, it's kind of something that's been borrowed as a kind of as an aesthetic choice. So if you're making music on something like Ableton Live or Logic, then you can sort of easily sort of find these sort of chiptune plugins and to make the music in this style. And but it's only really when you get to doing it on the original machines that sort of where chiptunes originated from, like the Spectrum, the Commodore 64, the NES, that you can really sort of get a sense of how it would the whole sort of style of it has been born out of the sort of technical constraints, and it kind of emerged as ways of getting around those constraints. So hopefully that's what I'm going to be able to communicate to you today. As you mentioned, I'll shortly be taking a request for a pop song to cover as a Spectrum chiptune, which I'll attempt to cover in an hour and explain the process as I go along. But while you're thinking of requests, I'll give a bit of background to the kind of parameters that we're working in and where the chip in chiptunes comes from. So the original home computers, when they were being designed and they wanted to add audio support, they were very much in the mindset of doing the simplest thing that could possibly work, which meant wiring up that going from one of the CPU's output ports, wiring that straight up to a speaker, so that if you output a 1, it would send a voltage across the speaker. If you output a 0, it would turn that off. And by alternating between those two states at a given rate, then you would create an audio wave. And the advantage of this method is, because it's all been done in software, is that there is basically no limits, audio quality aside, to the sort of sounds that you could produce. You could do speech synthesis of multi-channel audio. If you can program it, then you can do it. But the real disadvantage of that is that you can't really do anything else at the same time, because it's you. Well, if you're going to be sort of turning this speaker on and off at a precise rate, you can't just sort of set the CPU to say, okay, set a timer to do this thing while I go off and do my own thing. You've got to be sort of, to even if you're just waiting, you need to sort of count cycles to make sure everything is happening at precisely the right time. So it doesn't mean you're very limited in what else you can do at the same time. I'll play just an example of a load up Manic Miner, which is famous as one of the first ever games with background music. And you can kind of hear that it's got this very choppy sort of quality, and that's because it is literally having to divide its time, like a fraction of a second at a time, playing the music and then stopping to actually do the next bit of game and then playing the next bit of music. And people just they wanted to do better than this, so the next generation of home computers, including the Spectrum 128K and the Commodore 64, they started shipping with a built-in sound chip that Well, this, unlike the CPU-based approach that we've just shown, this is it's a fixed capabilities. So it's usually it would be something like you have three or four tone generators, and they would just be able to play a square wave or a sawtooth wave, and nothing else. You'd be able to sort of set the speed of these generators and the volume, but you're kind of stuck with the sounds that they provided. But the big upside, of course, is that these things can run under their own steam. Once you've actually told it to start playing a note at a particular frequency, it will just carry on doing that until you tell it to do something else. So that's In the case of the Spectrum, that sound chip, it was the AY38912, which is also used in a few other machines like the Amstrad CPC. For the Commodore 64, there's the very famous SID chip. And yeah, so that's basically the constraints that we're working within. It's so you don't have the flexibility of that you have for doing things in software, but there's not enough flexibility to like totally reinvent the sound it makes, but there's sort of enough to be sort of creative enough with it. So having said that, I think it's sort of time to sort of take requests. I think in fairness to people who aren't feeling like shouting stuff out, if you want to sort of come to the microphone if you've got an idea, or shout out if you want. So, okay. I see some theme from the Archers. Wow, that is it's a really hardcore audience here. Okay, could go with that. And any sort of other suggestions? I kind of like to sort of pick and choose ones that I know very well.
Could people come up to the microphones if they want to make suggestions, please?
Yeah, got it. Yep, go for it.
Does this work?
Slightly, yeah, a bit quiet, but
the Pokemon theme.
Oh, I don't know if I know that one. It's any others? Sledgehammer. Ooh, I kind of don't know that. I think I'm going to stick with the theme to the Archers. I've kind of not done done something like that. Oh, another. All right. Oh, I've kind of already done that one in my sort of illustrious 20-year career. So.
Yeah.
Oh, traffic. Oh, that's. I do know that one. It's kind of minimal. I like the idea of a theme to the Archers. It has to be a tune I know very well, and I think I've kind of not done something of that sort before. But okay, we can kind of give it a bit of a sort of drum and bass remix or something. So let's go for that. Okay, so here we go. Let's fire up the tracker then. Let's do a clear song. Let's just give a quick burst of this. This is my first ever attempt to do a chip tune under time constraints. This was 15 minutes of American Pie. And that's as far as it got. I didn't manage the whole 9-minute track, unsurprisingly. This is Soundtracker. This is the software I use. This is running sort of on the real Spectrum, or in this case, an emulator. This is an original bit of software, like created back in 1991, I think. There are actually better trackers around, such as a Vortex Tracker, which runs on Windows, also on Wine for Linux and Mac people. The reason I'm using this isn't out of some sort of hipster authenticity thing. It's just that this is what I'm used to. There's nothing worse than when you're in your creative flow, having to sort of stop and remember how the software works. So yeah, this is just what I'm used to. So let's clear this song and okay. So as you might have just seen there, this is the bit in the middle. This is where all the actual real music writing happens. It's divided into these three columns, which are, they correspond to the three sound generators that you get on the spectrum. You have, so what we can do is, the vertical axis is time, so if I sort of start sort of entering some notes, these is just using the standard musical note names, and spread them out a bit here, and as I saw there, and if I start this playing, then you can kind of see that it's the time is scrolling past, and the white row is the one that's showing the note that's playing at the moment. And the reason you didn't hear anything playing right there is that I haven't actually set up any sounds yet. And this is where we need to sort of go for the sample editor. Now, calling samples is a bit of a misnomer here, because this kind of originated from the trackers on like the Amiga, where this whole concept started off, where, well, samples in music usually means a clip of recorded audio that you're triggering at precise times, perhaps slowing it down, speeding it up to vary the pitch. And that was, in the case of the Amiga, that was the building blocks that you're using to build up your song. But since we're restricted to the sounds that the sound chip can generate, the meaning of samples is kind of a bit hacked around a bit in our case. So what we have, I'll edit sample number one here. This is, rather than it being sort of a real audio waveform, this is it's a graph of how the volume will vary over time. As you said, we're pushing data to the sound chip every 50th of a second, so each of these bars is of a 50th of a second a slot. So let's start creating a waveform that sort of starts loud and sort of dies away. So the top half is this is the volume over time. And since the Archer's theme, then it's very sort of staccato. So we want to note that kind of dies away quickly. So I think it's going to be sort of this sort of. Fortunately, sir, being a Spectrum program, it's all kind of very fiddly to actually do the editing. So, I think that's a bit more volume there. So that's kind of the. We've got the sort of fading away fairly quickly sound. You'll notice it's sounding a bit sort of noisy there, and that's because the AY chip can also do noise, which is what this second half is. It's controlling, so I'll set these to one to mute them out. Sorry, I have to. It's also very annoying how you get this click that's actually louder than the music you're playing. But yes, I might get around to explaining why it's one to turn it off. It's because it's kind of talking to the chip at a fairly low level, and this happens to be the how it works at that level. So now we've got. We've masked out the noise, and now we've got this pure tone. It's because it can only produce square waves. This is a square wave sound that's dying away fairly quickly. So I'll skip past this screen. This is actually showing how the tone will vary over time. But I think we want this to be kind of a flat note at the moment. So now we can get on with editing, putting in our notes. Let's clear these out. So we've created that as sample one. So let's see. What note do we want to start on? I think that works. So. Okay, so one important decision at this point is what the tempo is going to be, how quickly we scroll past here, because you can only put the notes on the, you can't put them to between rows, so we probably don't really have much choice here, because it's like so it's going to be like da 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 so. I did second it while I'm here. No, that's the wrong place. Yeah, that's the one. So, incidentally, it's the bottom row of keys here, ZXCVBNM is like the musical keyboard, so it's just all very sort of lo-fi, no MIDI or anything. Right, so let's sort of hear how this sounds. It's probably going to be way too fast at the moment. Not too bad. Okay, good start. Okay. Yeah. So, I think I will slow that down slightly, so delay 6, which, so that's, since, as I say, everything is in units of a 50th of a second, so that will be, advanced things every 6 50ths of a second, so that's... Okay, that's what next? I think there's a couple of notes. What's bugging me slightly is there's some longer notes that could do with sort of being another sample. So in trackers, you don't really have a concept of setting the length of a note. If you want a longer note, that just means a sample that takes longer to die away. So let's do this. Let's make it so it kind of sticks at that level here. And yep, again, this is very fiddly and clicky. And again, we want to mask out all of the noise. Okay, that's a bit more like it. So far we've just sort of specified sample one at the beginning there, which, and then the zeros means it will carry on playing sample one. So let's so that's the one who wants to be a longer note. Okay, and I've kind of forgotten to actually set it back to one again for the shorter notes. So let's do that again. One, two, one, two, two, one. Oh, I need to do it for the second half as well. So, let's hear that again. So, yeah, you can hear the sort of difference between those two note lengths there. So, since unlike sort of a lot of the music that the youth is listening to today, this is kind of in 3/4 time, well, in compound time, which means that by default, you have 64 rows in this, and since we all probably want to change that to a 48 because it's all in threes, so, or 47 in fact, because it's zero based, just to confuse you. So now that's about to sort of repeat again. So the as a space-saving measure, because memory is always very tight on the spectrum, it's the song you're making is divided into what's known as patterns, which are kind of musical phrases. And a lot of music is kind of quite repetitive. If you've got your standard song structure where it's verse, chorus, verse, chorus, you don't want to have multiple copies of that data. So when you're, so you can actually define your song as kind of a sequence of these patterns possibly repeating. So in the case of like verse, chorus, it might be 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, and then 3, 4 if there's another chorus. And that way you're not storing multiple copies of the same data. Yeah, at the moment we're just only working with one pattern at the moment. We'll see if we get time to sort of do a bit more of the song. But let's sort of make this, let's be a bit more adventurous about the about the samples here. So this long note here, we can we can sort of add a bit of like vibrato. Like, so let's imagine we're sort of playing the Archer's theme on an overdriven electric guitar. Well, it might be a bit too much to hope for, but we can sort of a bit of when it's doing the long notes. So we can do a sort of a bit of vibrato effect on there, so that yes, adds a bit more life to it. As I say, these columns on the left here, it's actually just one column. Again, it's sort of the defining what happens over time, and every 50th of a second, at the moment, we're not adjusting the pitch at all. It's all just one flat tone. Let's shift it up a bit here. These are in units of. It's complicated, because this is all addressing the chip on a very low level, which is kind of incidentally why we're using this sort of interface and not kind of conventional like music sort of musical notation. So this is kind of adjustments to the period of a wave in clock cycles, which also means as you're going to the higher frequencies. These little adjustments have a bigger effect, so it's all a bit of a black art to adjust it all. So hopefully you'll hear here if I stop it at this point. It's very subtle, but I'll move to a bit more to. You might just be able to hear it's sort of ramping sort of up in tones at the end slightly. That's a bit more. A bit kind of. So that's going up and down again, and then it's all very subtle. We don't want it to actually change the note we're playing in any sort of fundamental way. And let's do that sort of in the negative direction here. So you can hear this sort of sound there. So yeah, I think that is kind of what we're going for there. So we can see if we play that back, we can hopefully hear the effect on the actual song here. So yeah, it's a bit of, hopefully you can sort of hear the effect there. Let's get a bit of a bass line going here. So let's start entering stuff into this second channel of audio. So down to sort of octave. I think I should do it. I'll use sample one for this, just because we don't really want the sort of vibrato thing going on here. So let's see how this is. It probably goes down to A. Let's see what that's giving us. Okay, that's kind of working. Yeah. Onto drums, which I'm sure the original theme didn't have, but let's go wild here. So this is where we start sort of getting the noise side of things into play. Although we still need to sort of define something here, because it's still using the same volume control. So let's see. Let's do a snare drum here. So we want that to be again sort of fading away fairly quickly over time. Let's sort of do something like this, and yep. So again, we've got that sort of that sort of quite noisy thing. We want a bit of tonal content in there, so I'll leave that. I could mask that out completely, and then it would just be noise. But I think we need a bit of tone as well. So the second half is actually controlling the. Again, this is where it kind of gets hazy and low level. The pitch of the noise. I know white noise doesn't really have a pitch, but because it's actually done by sort of. Of adding sort of random ones and zeros, and this is controlling how quickly it changes from one to zero. It's kind of changes the flavor of the noise, I suppose. And so if we so here you can hear that's kind of a very sort of quite a high noise, and then if I take that down, you can hear that's kind of going a bit deeper, and as you go down. Until the right at the top is that, so it's a rather than ch-ch-ch-ch. We've got some extra white noise coming from outside by the sound of things. Okay, so as a sort of snare drum sound, we want sort of that sort of slowly fall, so it goes that's so let's go start some again. This is sort of backwards and confusing, just but again, it matches the way that the chip works. So let's get that one to sort of go down to the lowest frequency there. So you can kind of hear a bit there. Maybe you'll make it reach the lowest bits faster. So it's kind of going in a way. So that's kind of what we're aiming for, but I think what we also need to do here is make sure that the sort of the tone content also sort of goes right down to zero. Well, not just zero, it plummets down. For some reason, you get the option of sort of adjusting this by either 1 or by 128 and nothing in between. So let's do this a few multiples of 128. So the idea here is that we're kind of making it stop sounding like a tone, because you could still kind of identify that as a specific musical note, and that we're sort of taking this down, so it's sort of going sort of down to the ground really quickly, so that you can't really identify it as a particular note. So I think that might be enough. Okay, it's kind of turning a bit bass notey there. Let's wrong way. Let's sort of move that up a bit. So I've kind of got a bit of a snare, sort of, sort of. It probably could have done with sort of not fading out in volume quite as fast, but it'll do for now. So let's also do a bass drum. In this case, we don't really want it to have that sort of white noise quality. So we can get this whole percussive thing just by using this second trick of sort of ramping the tone down really quickly. In this case, a bass drum that sort of does that's kind of a very short, stabby sort of noise, so the volume should fall away quickly there. And as I say, we don't really want any noise there. So then we've got this very blippy sound, and then again we'll take this down to wrong keys. Make this the pitch slide way down. Probably needs to go a bit faster than that. Okay, that's kind of more what I'm looking for there. This is all a bit of a sort of trial and error sort of thing. It's not like we're physically modelling these instruments or anything. So, and we're only going to come so close to it actually sounding like a real drum. But I think that's probably sort of good enough to work with now. So now I've got to decide what a drum beat for the Archer's theme is going to sound like. Okay, I'll try something like that. So it's 4 is my bass drum, so it's duh, 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 duh. Let's have another bum bass there. Let's see, how does that go? Okay, and because I can't be bothered to figure that out for the second half, let's do a spot of cut and paste. So it's all very low level again. So that was, so we're still working in pattern one, copying and paste pattern one, and that was 0 to 23, paste to 24 to the end. So it's like copying from the first half of this pattern to the second half, and that was channel C. So yeah, it's takes a lot of experience to kind of remember what numbers to put in there. So let's see. Okay, so I think we're sort of definitely getting somewhere here. So what next? Probably want a bit of sort of accompaniment, so a few chords to add to that. Except this is where we kind of run into a bit of a problem, because now that we've got the melody, the bass, and the drums, we've run out of channels to actually put notes into, and so. This is kind of the sort of perennial problem that we run into with sort of chip music, if it's the real sort where you have these constraints. So we'll need to find ways to kind of insert our chords around these. And obviously chords consist of multiple notes being played at once, which I know we're going to have enough trouble sort of inserting a single note in around what we've already got. So this is where we actually get to what's probably the most distinctive thing about chip tunes, which is arpeggios. So if you've got sort of several notes to play at once, like a C chord, duh, 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 then the trick is to sort of cycle between do 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 very fast, so it's do 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 do, except faster than that, so that it doesn't really sound like they're all playing at once, but there's enough of an effect to pass. And this is kind of the sound that you would kind of always associate with kind of Mario soundtracks or whatever. So this is under sort of ornaments here. So ornaments again. This is another way of the varying pitch over time, but this time this is measured in actual semitones. So we're working at the actual musical level rather than this abstract frequencies thing. So at the moment we're just, that's all zeros. So I probably want sort of a C major chord. So I think that's yeah. Now. I'm doing it so it's sticking at each note for 2/50ths of a second. I've found through experience that if you do it, this kind of leaves it with a nice melodic one. If you cycle through the notes too fast, it kind of becomes a bit harsh. So let's go for 047, and let's repeat this a couple of times. Usually I'd sort of go through this whole list of notes, but given that we're kind of a bit pushed for time, that's probably good enough. So there, you've got this sort of major chord there, and it's and you can kind of hear, while it is sort of cycling through the notes there, yeah, it's sort of a decent enough recreation of actually playing that as a chord. So let's get another one. So that's a duh duh duh. We probably want to do do do. So here we go. There. 9. Okay, so we'll start with those. You might find that we need more of these. As in pretty much everything in the soundtracker, there's sort of quite a sort of severe limit to the number of samples and ornaments you can have. We've got sort of 15 or 16 to play with. Obviously, we're not going to have time to fill that up, but once you're actually doing a sort of full-length song, you can find yourself running into these and you have to make creative compromises. But so let's see, this is going to be a tricky one, to where to insert these. So I can probably, let's see, it's this kind of a different problem to solve every time you write a song. I think we can probably get away with the bass notes being sort of shortened, so it'll be da do da do do. It's, I guess it's kind of a ragtime sort of thing or something. So okay, so we've got our bass note there, and now we want this to be let's see, it's probably going to be this that octave. So we're probably going to want another sample at some point, because this is the same volume as the main melody, which is not no good. Now I have to say, so F is that's the code to say, let's turn this into, let's use one of these ornaments, and in this case we're using ornament number one. And if I sort of leave it sort of running like that, then so we hear that's kind of added the ornament to the bass line as well, which is sort of pretty horrible. So we're going to have to explicitly say turn that off when we're playing a bass note. So let's see, that's probably the second one. No, that's off. Okay, let's see if that's sort of sounding vaguely passable now. Okay, so let's hear that again. Okay, maybe what we really need to do is sort of cut out some of these bass notes so that it's so that we've got a bit more time to actually hear that accompaniment. So let's sort of chop out every other one. And let's So while I'm going through sort of removing a few of these bass notes, so to fit in some of the non-bass ones. Okay, and since that second half is not quite the same as the first one, I don't think I can do my copy and paste trick, so I need to sort of quickly go through and sort of add those two. And that needs to be octave four. I'm going to remove that one. Now we need a sort of minor note, minor chord, so off to the ornament editor again. Let's just do one more repeat of those notes. Okay, so that was ornament number three, so let's hear where that goes again. I'm going to stop that too early. So, let's see. So that's the minor note we want. So now I think it's... Right, so I... Yes, Okay. Thank you. So yeah, that's actually sounding pretty good. Like I said, I thought I would have to take the volume of those accompaniment stabs down a bit, but I think that's working pretty well. I think that's quite a distinctive bit of our tune now, so we can sort of bring that up in the mix, as it were. And I think the fact it is also sort of fairly short stabs that then get sort of interrupted by the bass means that it's kind of not quite as prominent as the melody there. I think it's time for a bit of hardware abuse. Of the very mild sort. I'm not going to set fire to my laptop or anything, but those bass notes, while we've kind of jazzed things up a bit, let's just focus on this channel here. They're still sort of pretty plain. So that's the duh, duh, duh. We can do something a bit more sort of exciting here. And this is where I think we have to go back a bit into the history of like where the AY chip originated from, because I get the impression that when they first designed it, they didn't really imagine that people would use it by sort of pushing data to it every 50th of a second like we've been doing all the way through this. It seems that they imagined that you would just send data to the chip on every time you wanted to actually play a new actual musical note, because obviously it can play a note under its own steam if you're not bothered about doing all fancy effects to it. So they probably imagined that's how people would use this chip. But then they evidently realized that, well, this is just going to result in tunes where all the music notes are just going to be a flat beep sort of sound. So let's throw our users a bone here. And so they came up with the idea of envelopes, which is a bit of functionality on board the chip which would allow you to vary the volume of that note over time, and it would, so you'd be able to set the, rather than having it just a flat volume, have it say that it will fade away at a certain time, then maybe it will sort of repeat. So there's a few different options, which is sort of a nice thought of them, but as it happens, this is sort of pretty much completely useless, because we've already sort of been doing our sample editing to vary our volume over time, and doing this in software is it's a lot more flexible. We could, for example, do something that sort of goes down and then sort of ramps up slightly to get sort of wah 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 sort of sound, which you couldn't do on the onboard facilities. So I'd say this feature of the chip is pretty much useless, except for one thing, which is that because you can sort of control how long it takes for the envelope to fade away, what if we sort of ramped up the speed of this so it's actually fading the volume is fading away much, much faster than 1/50th of a second at that point, and then we set it to repeatedly do that. At that point, we've actually moved out of the sort of volume domain, and it's actually become an audio waveform in its own right. So when I said at the beginning that the AY chip can only do square waves, that wasn't exactly true. It can also be tricked into doing sort of triangular and sawtooth waves. But the downside of this is, like so many things here, you have to sort of work with it at a very low level, because this is kind of, like, as I say, hardware abuse. This is with this kind of speed that you're actually setting the envelopes to are sort of right at the sort of edge of the tolerance of what it was designed for, which means that you don't really have much resolution to control exactly what pitch this happens at. So you can't reliably match it to an actual musical tone. I think the Atari VCS has a similar sort of issue for crazy people who write music on that, because that was not designed for music at all. So it's that they kind of have a kind of very, because they're kind of working with this very limited resolution that doesn't always match to musical notes, then they kind of have to compose their music out of this sort of reduced scale. And so it's even more hardcore than I'm prepared to go. But so luckily we can sort of we can make the best of this though by using it for the bass line because the sort of note lengths are a lot the periods are longer, then you've got a bit more control. So let's start sort of dropping in some of these then. So these are, rather than using the F command, which is for the ornaments, we can it's the ones to use. It's A and C. I think C is kind of, that's like the sawtooth, which is a harsher thing. So let's see how that goes. So. And because this is actually happening on top of the existing square wave, you can actually get some interesting distortion effects where if it's not exactly in tune, then it will kind of go in and out of phase. So let's see how this goes then. So that's our note at the moment. So let's try adding, let's see, so at the moment, so zero is, that's the fastest, so let's slow that down to. So here you can see as we're setting the speed of it to like 24, and oh yes, by the way, this is in hex, just to throw another spanner in the works. So as I say, we can't sort of reliably tune this to actual musical notes, so we're required to do this in hex values and kind of tune it by hand. So we want to try and find a frequency that sort of fits well with that. So let's see. That one, that's quite well. Let's see what the ones either side are. Okay, let's go one octave down, actually. I don't know what 2D multiplied by 2. It's probably 5/8. Actually, no. I like the first one better. So what's it? So 2D we're going for there. So find all of our notes here, our Fs. So that's a G, so that will be a slightly higher and faster one, so it will be C, so like 2. So that sounds right. So, and that's 2D again. So down a bit more. Yep, that sounds about right. And up again, so that's for that 2. So you can see I'm kind of having to sort of adjust this by hand till it sounds right, because there's no guarantee that you will actually match this up to a real musical note. Okay, so let's see what our newly pimped up theme tune sounds like there. That's sounding a bit better. Yep. That's it. So now we've got sort of a bit of time left. Let's try and move on to the second half of the theme. I'm enjoying that bass line quite a bit. So let's try and make this one a bit more sort of bassy then. Let's see. Melody first though, so that's actually no, hold on. rather than that, I'll do the melody first, then add these samples. Adding the samples, so is it two for the along notes? I think that actually. That's how that's sounding. Okay, let's see. So save a bit of time. Let's copy and paste the drums from pattern one. So that was channel C. And luckily we didn't have to stick any of our chords into that one, so that should be pretty. Okay, that's sounding good. So as I say, we're going to make this a bit more sort of bass heavy this time. So it's I think we went for like note and tones around the 20 mark here. Let's take that down to. Then that's. Okay, that's. So let's go for sort of play that for one note, and then have the accompaniment. Let's do all the bass notes first. That's probably to be a. So that's. Here we go, 42. Down a bit there. Yep, that's sounding right. And then I think it's going to be 50, maybe 60. No, it's going to be 70. There we go. Forgotten what we had for F. That was. I think that's right. 58. Say 78 there. Okay, and let's see if you can make that. Let's stick that an octave down. I should have done that. Nice fat note. Should have done that all the way through, really. Okay, and let's stick in our accompaniments here. So then let's another of those chords. Then it's going to be. No, that's not quite the one. It's do do do. So it's another one that we don't have. Okay, let's just stick that one for now. Let's not bother repeating. There you go. Thank you. Okay, so let's put both of those halves together. So, as I say, so now we've moved on to a second pattern. So, in position one, we have pattern one, and in position two, we have pattern two. So, we didn't actually get to do any repeating there. But, okay, so let's see what our sort of finished tune sounds like. Okay. Right.
Big thanks to Matt Westcott. Thank you. We have 5 minutes for questions, so if you've got a quick question, and it should be quick, please come up to the microphones. Yes.
Okay, I'm just saving it first because I think this is a good one. No, I'm going to keep it, yeah. Okay. No, hang on, hurry, that's a weird bug there.
Question at the back.
I don't have a question. I just wanted to say it's brilliant. Thank you very much for this big show.
Thank you. Yes.
Come to the microphone, please.
I have a question for the audience, actually. Do the non-Brits in the audience actually know what the Archers is?
Good point. Show of hands. Hands up if you actually know what the Archers is. Okay, that's... hands up
if you know and you're not British.
Yeah. Yes, it is a very British thing. It's a soap opera on the radio, set sort of in the countryside. So most of the storylines are. I could be horribly misrepresenting it because I'm not a follower of it myself. But it's all about sheep getting stolen and things. And yeah, like I say, very British. Sorry, microphone.
Can we have the fun mic up, please?
Ah, I'm not sure if this is a question for you. How does this compare to, for instance, punch cards on dance organs? Can you compare?
I suppose, yeah, I can kind of see the similarity of, it's music, so yeah, it's sort of vertically as over time. I suppose... In that case, you could sort of think of that as kind of an extreme version of this, where we've got three channels. I suppose like a player piano would be like 80 channels, except each one is just one tone. But it's an interesting thought. Yeah, there's definite parallels there. Yeah.
Do you happen to have a copy of your Darude Sandstorm cover?
Oh,
that the audience could listen to.
Oh yeah, okay. I think we've got time for this. Yeah, okay.
Particularly if you've got the video to go with it.
Yes, I believe we can do that. Yes, yes. Okay, so it's good. Okay. Let's gonna do tap.
Sorry, what's the song called?
Okay. Yep, this will be the one. It's okay. Actually, no, it'll be on. This. Okay.
Okay.
It has lyrics.
Okay, guys, I'm afraid that's all the time we've got. So huge thanks to Matt Westcott.